All right. For you, those of you watching, we're broadcasting live from our house again. We've got someone working on the heat at the church building, and should be done before our next service. So pray with us about that. If you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter 51. And we've only got two chapters left. And chapter 51 is a pretty lengthy chapter, but I think we're going to get through it tonight. It's not going to take a lot of time, I don't think. But there is a lot to cover here. A lot of it's going over some things that we've already looked at, so we're not going to stop and talk about a lot. We'll stop and talk about a few things. And if my stand stays where it's at with the camera, we'll be all right. So, chapter 51 in Jeremiah, let's start with verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. Now, if you remember, we've talked about the desolation and destruction of Babylon in the last chapter. This is talking about Babylon's destiny here in this chapter. He goes more into their destruction and everything. So, and then we see what happens to them. In the end, we see what happens to them and what happens to, he talks a little bit about what happens to Israel in this chapter also. So, but here in verse 1, he says, I will raise up against Babylon. Remember, the Lord is raising up the army of the Medes and the Persians to come up against Babylon and to destroy Babylon. And we'll talk more about the destruction as we go on here. But he says, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. Now, he's not talking about an actual wind, if you will. What we think of as the wind, he's talking about an invading army. They're going to come like the wind. They're going to come very fast, and they're very destructive. Verse 2, and we'll send you unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her. In other words, the flames are going to be fanned by the wind. They're going to send, he's going to send those into Babylon and they're going to help that army as they come in to take over. And shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in this brigandine, which is another word for armor, and spare ye not your young men, or not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Everything, everybody's going to be destroyed there in Babylon. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets, for Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though her land be filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Israel's not going to be forsaken, he says. God hasn't forgot about his people. Just as today, God hasn't forgot his people. Even though as bad as things are in the world, we can rest assured that the Lord has not forgot about his people. And he tells this to Israel and to Judah. He's not forsaken them. Now, he did chastise them by sending them to Babylon through captivity and destroying their land and their cities. But he says, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, even though Israel sinned against God, he still hasn't forgot them. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul, be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. He's giving a warning here. If you're reading this, heed this warning and leave Babylon if you can. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. That made all the earth drunken. The nations were drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. In other words, the nations are not mad, as in angry mad. They're crazed. They're losing their mind. They've lost their mind as far as Babylon is concerned. Babylon, he says, hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Remember, God used Babylon to bring chastisement upon the nation of Israel and on the nation of Judah, on his own people. So they were doing the Lord's work, not as we would think of it. It was evil that was brought upon Israel and Judah, but at the same time it was the Lord's plan and his will that it would happen. It was his chastisement upon his people. And it says that made all the earth drunken. The whole world watched in amazement as Babylon took over God's people. Remember, many of the nations around Israel had tried for many generations to overthrow Jerusalem and never could do it. And Babylon did it. But it was only because God let them do it. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Now remember a little bit about the story of Babylon. Remember, think about Jonah when he went to Nineveh. Remember, the Lord spared Nineveh because they believed. The whole city believed. Remember that in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar turned to the Lord. When the Lord cast him out and put him out in the field, made him eat grass like an animal and had his hair grow and his fingernails grew, he turned to the Lord. He finally realized that he had messed up and that the Lord was the only one that could save him. If the rest of the nation had followed the leadership of their king in that matter, the Lord might have spared them. He says, I believe that's what he's talking about here. Because if they had followed the Lord, he would have spared them. But instead, they kept after their false gods. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. In other words, when you get back to Jerusalem, Zion's another name for Jerusalem. When you get back to Jerusalem after the captivity, he says, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you when you get back to Zion. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Remember, Babylon destroyed God's temple. It took all the possessions that were in the temple, all the furniture, all the fixtures, everything, the altars, everything was taken out and taken to Babylon and was desecrated in Babylon. They worshiped their false gods on those same altars. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. He's going to do what he says. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. You're going to get what's coming to you, is what he's telling Babylon. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. You ever seen an army of caterpillars? We used to get, when I was in Texas, and we used to get army worms, and they're very similar to caterpillars. And there'd be thousands of them. We'd take over a hay meadow and eat all the grass, and it would destroy a hay meadow. Caterpillars travel, or certain types of caterpillars travel in hordes. I don't know what the term, I don't know if it's a flock or a or what, you know, but they travel in hordes in thousands of them. And that's what he's comparing this army to. They're coming as caterpillars. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Jeremiah's praising the Lord here. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. We're talking about God's creation here, are we not? Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in him. In other words, he's saying all these false gods that Babylon is worshiping, they're falsehood, he says. They have no breath in them. They can't do anything. Remember, God breathed life into man. The false gods couldn't do that because they had no breath. They're nothing. They are vanity. The works are the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. Now he gets back to Israel. Jacob is another name for Israel. The complete nation, not the two divided nations, but the whole nation, the nation as a whole. Jacob is another name for them. The portion of Jacob is not like them. In other words, Jacob's inheritance, Israel's inheritance, is not like Israel. Not like Babylon. Their inheritance is in the Lord. It's not in false gods. For he is the former of all things, and Israel the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. He's going to totally destroy everything and everybody in Babylon. Behold, I'm against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord. Now remember, in our study in Revelation, we've talked about this. Sometimes a mountain refers to people, a high-standing people, if you will. In this case, Babylon was, though it's not on a mountain, the city of Babylon is not on a mountain, but it was a very high place as far as the world was concerned. It's where a lot of trade came through. It was one of the wealthiest cities in the world at that time. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. He's going to destroy the highness or the proudness of Babylon. It was a very proud city and a very proud people. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. They're going to destroy the whole city. And you go over there today, and from what I understand, the city of Babylon is leveled. It's other than what, you know, we know, we've talked about this before, that Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild part of it. But up until that point, it was desolate. It was leveled. He says, they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner. They're not going to take a cornerstone from. They're not going to take anything from it. They totally leveled it and left it. Nothing was taken. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Meni, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every promise or every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. And so it is today. The land where the city of Babylon itself was is a desolate place. Remember, it's on the river Euphrates. You would think it would be a fertile, would be a very fertile place, but it's not. It's desert. It's a pile of rocks. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holes. Their might hath failed. They're going to stay and fight, but it's going to be useless. It's going to be in vain. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. So as they come into the city, the runners, the messengers, are going to run to the king and let him know what's going on. And the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. And it's my understanding, and it's been a long time since I've read all the details on this, but what I'm remembering, the city of Babylon, there was a channel of the river that went underneath the city to furnish the city with water. The invading army dammed up the river on one end and caused the river to dry up. And then they went in by night, went in under the city wall through where the river came out. That was the only way you could breach the walls of Babylon. That's how strong a city it was. So that's what he's talking about here. He says that the passages are stopped and the reeds that have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. They've set the reeds on fire in the river. And he says the passages are stopped. They've stopped the water from coming through. They've stopped everything from entering into the city now. They've besieged it, and it's under attack, and they're not going to be able to stop it. Even as mighty a warriors as Babylon had, they can't. There are no defense against this army. Remember, this army is being sent by the Lord. So they're not just fighting flesh and blood. They're fighting a spiritual warfare. The Lord is the one behind this army. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. So this is the people of Israel talking here. The reason God's doing this is because of what they have done to God's people. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. God's hearing the prayers of his people. And he's going to respond. He says, vengeance, and take vengeance for thee. And I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. He's going to cut off all the water. It's not going to rain. The river's going to dry up. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions whelps. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep. and not wake, saith the Lord. In other words, they're going to die. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with the he-goats. How is Shishak taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Here's another reference to a mighty group of people. It's the word sea, remember we've studied that before. The word sea and the waves here, he's talking about a wave of people, a wave of an army coming to invade. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Baal in Babylon. Baal was one of their false gods. And it was also a name taken on by their kings, some of their kings also. Because they claimed to be the son of Baal. Their kings claimed to be the son of their false god, or descended from their false god. I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Remember I said Babylon was a wealthy city. It was on all the trade routes. Many nations traveled through there and to there for trade, but not anymore. They're going to be destroyed, and the nations are going to stop going there. Today, it's not even a vacation spot. You know, it's just, a pile of rocks. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. God's warning his people of what's coming. And he does that, doesn't he? Many times in the scripture we see the Lord warns his people of impending danger. He's warning his people here, get out while you can. Get out before the destruction comes. And lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. He's going to attack. He's attacking their false gods. That's God's true enemies, is their false gods. But remember who made the false gods? The people themselves. Mm-hmm. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing of Babylon. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Why do we want Jerusalem to come into their mind? Because that's where they're going to be going eventually. We'll look at that later, but at some point in the future, from this time that we're talking about here, they're going to be going back to Jerusalem. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Remember, Babylon, they took over the temple of God. Now, it's my understanding that when it wasn't just the army of Babylon, Babylon sent the Chaldean priest into the temple in Jerusalem, and they were the ones who actually took all the things out of the temple. They understood that it was a holy place, and they, being priests of the Chaldeans and priests of their false gods, they were curious about other nations' gods, and especially the one of Jerusalem, because they had heard so much about him. That's what he's referring to here. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, And though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet for me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. Now, if you think about the false gods and the graven images over there in that part of the world, until, what, maybe 200 years ago, those things were buried in the sand. It was the Western, especially European, archaeologists who sought those things out in that part of the world and began to dig them up and bring them back. So the things that you see in museums and, you know, things that we saw that ISIS destroyed, we saw that a few years ago, those false gods that they were destroying were in museums over there. For the most part, those had been buried in the sand up until about 150, 200 years ago. Sometimes some sooner than that, or some less time than that, but mostly once the European archaeologists, and especially England and France and Germany, those places who were part of the so-called Enlightened movement, began to go over there and dig up these things, just like they did in Egypt and other places. They dug up all these false gods that God had purposely buried so man wouldn't find them. They bring them out anyway and begin to worship them again. And while I'm not going to beat a dead horse here tonight, but Roman Catholicism is one of the ones who brought a lot of these back. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her. Yet from me, who's speaking here? It says, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon, and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered, because the spoiler has come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. In other words, he's going to pay back what they've done to his people. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the king. See the king, the word king there is capitalized, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The Lord, which Jeremiah the prophet commanded, Sira, the son of Nera, the son of Messiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Sira was a quiet prince. In other words, he wasn't a troublemaker. He didn't rock the boat, in other words. He kind of sat back and watched and let things happen. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said in Sira, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, and none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, what we've just read, if you understand what he just said in his last few verses, Jeremiah was commanded by the Lord to write a book. This chapter was a book that Jeremiah wrote and give to Assyria, this prince. He took it to Babylon with him when he went. Remember, Jeremiah never went to Babylon, but this prince did. And he even tells us the timeline, the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign. He took this book with him. He was to read the prophecy, and he was to proclaim this prophecy to all of God's people there. And so that they would understand that there was hope, that God was going to come back and God was going to rescue them. Just like we have that hope that the Lord's going to come back for us today. Our hope is that he'll be back any time now. It could be tonight. It could be before this meeting's over with. We don't know. He tells him to destroy the book. Why? Well, God didn't want Babylon to know what was going to happen. He didn't want them to be prepared for what was going to happen. So he didn't destroy. I said destroy. He didn't destroy the book. He cast it in the water. Notice he tied a rock around it, threw it in the water in the Euphrates River, so it wouldn't be found. And so this is God's prophecy of what he's going to do, or what he was going to do to Babylon. Remember, we've mentioned this before several times. The book of Jeremiah is not all of it is in chronological order. This chapter, and along with the several chapters that we've been through recently, they all go back to a time before before Babylon completely taken over Jerusalem. Jerusalem was under siege at that time. These prophecies were given back then, and now Jeremiah's coming back and telling what he did. And this book that he wrote this book. Remember Baruch, the scribe that was with Jeremiah when Jeremiah was in prison, and he was writing books for Jeremiah? He wrote more than one that we know of, at least two books. It's very possible that Baruch was the one that wrote this. As Jeremiah was given the words by the Lord, Jeremiah spoke them, and Baruch wrote them down in a book. And then Jeremiah gave this book to this prince, and he took it with him to Babylon during the captivity. He read it, saw what it said, and the people had some hope of what was to come. They knew their captivity was not going to be forever. They just didn't know when it would be, when it would end. So we'll stop there for tonight, and next week we'll pick up with chapter 52, and we'll see. We might can get through the rest of the book next week. We'll see how it goes.